My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. Could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Patriots, and today is Monday, April 22nd in the year 2024. I'm in Laramie, Wyoming. I'll be leaving here in about three hours or so, heading on to Ogden, Utah today. And the puppies are alive and well. They've been running vigorously since about 5:30 this morning, exercising their puppy energy at a level that is astonishing at times, I will tell you. The never-ending flow of excitement and joy that they find in the simple things is a reminder, I think, for all of us to just look around at our world. I watched them literally play and have such joy with one another, and it was just a reminder again that this world that we've created has nothing to do with the world that God created. Just watching this morning them playing tug-of-war with one bully stick. We've got plenty of bully sticks. They have all the bully sticks they want, but there's one that they each want. And they want to play tug-of-war, chase, tackle, slay the other, grab the ears, shake them. It's amazing. And the chase runs outside, inside, around the property, everything. I just sit there and go, wow. You didn't read the headlines this morning, obviously. And they don't care. That's the best part about it. I mean, I think if there's one real issue here, and it's that, is that we are immersed so deeply in this narrative of depressive pain, suffering, I guess would be the words to use. It's amazing to me. And we're going to play some clips this morning, some things coming out and things to think about. And one of them is going to be a wild Alex Jones clip, which it'll take you places. But there's some interesting things in all of this, which is the perspective again of the power which we have within us through and which God puts within us and God works through us again in overcoming the impossible. There is so much fear in this world right now. It's stunning to me. And it's right now everybody is going through a refiner's fire. And that refiner's fire is literally forcing people to start facing the world as they see it. And that world, for too many, has a deep seed of fear in it. It's fear of losing somebody. It's fear of losing something. It's fear of something that you can't control. And that doesn't get us closer to God. It gets us farther away from Him. And the worst part about fear is that fear is one of those things that once it seats itself in, it literally distorts the words of God to where we no longer hear clearly, but we start to believe we're hearing clearly and form up walls. We retract. And this is one of the consequences of fear, is people will retract. They become psychotic in their own way. And psychotic is a harsh term to use, but a psychosis sets in that fear creates narratives. And there's so much of this out here. I went into a Love's truck stop. It's actually right near where I'm staying. I pulled in last night to get some gas, and I picked up a few things to eat just for some snacks, and spent way too much stupid money on snacks. The cost of things right now is just unbelievable. But anyway, especially with somebody like me, I raise my own food, and when you go out here in the world, I can deal with gas, but like the cost of just like a Cliff Bar or something, it's like, are you kidding me? It's insane. But anyway, I get to this is Wyoming. Okay, I just want to be clear about this. It's Wyoming. There's clear skies. Everybody's healthy. Nobody's coughing, nothing. Truckers are moving in and out. You've got a busy place, and there's one girl at the cash register, and she's masked up. And nothing to say. I just was my steward and just blessed her. But this is what I'm talking about. This is the brokenness of fear of a society that is deeply riddled with fear, and it's everywhere. It shows up in the extremes like the mask, but it's manifesting in so many different ways, and we have to let go of that. Fear is literally a sin. So before we get going, I'll tell you one thing that does actually help with fear. And it's a good night's sleep. It's a good start. So this is where we have the glory of MyPillow. In this trip, I have slept on a lot of not my pillows, and I miss my MyPillow. I didn't bring it with me. Didn't have enough room with all the other gear I have and all the dog's stuff that I have. They have more pillows than I have. But MyPillow is literally one of the best places to get the stuff you need to sleep, to get yourself a good night rest. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards. MyPillow.com/Bards. Your promo code is Bards, B-A-R-D-S. Take advantage of the amazing offers that are there. You know, the one thing about MyPillow, I'm going to have to get Mike Lindell on the show. It's hard to get him scheduled right now because he's right in the middle of a Supreme Court case, and they're in the middle of a new initiative, which is to get paper voting at every county level, which they've asked me to be part of that group, and I'm very honored, and I will be. I totally believe in that effort. And that last call had some really big influencers on the call. It's a kind of a humbling thing when you get on there, you're like, oh, well, there's Ted Nugent. I know Ted, but I mean, there's lots of people on the call that you didn't expect to be on, and a lot of big influence names. These efforts prevent Mike from getting on shows. But the thing that I want to hit at is Mike built a company based on pillows. They grew to pillows and sheets and pillows and bedware and built pillows. And he put it in all the retail stores, and they did sales direct, and then they went after him. And they've done everything they can to try to destroy his company. And every single step of the way, Mike prays and walks with Christ, and he continues to just pour his money into this nation and into the patriots that he can support. And he does it over and over. And people have pulled back from him. They have not spent time. They don't give a lot of feature to his work anymore. He's one of the only voices out there right now that's holding steadfast on fixing 2020. No one else is. Not even Trump is saying fix 2020. So here we are, and they're going after his company again. They keep attacking him every turn of the way. We forget the victories. And this is, again, the perspective. We forget that Bed Bath & Beyond no longer exists because they boycotted MyPillow, and the Patriot movement shifted and never bought from Bed Bath & Beyond. Bed Bath & Beyond is bankrupt. That should have happened to every single company that boycotted him, which would include Target, which is this Luciferian pit of hell. But that's the sort of power that we carry as a unified body, and it's the sort of victories that have happened through a company that has truly stood righteously on the rock of faith. So all that said, don't stop supporting MyPillow. I think every one of us has 10 MyPillows, which is great. And I just continue to go Bibles and pillows. People can get a comfortable pillow, get them a Bible. They can prop their head up in bed and they can read the scripture, which they need to do anyway. Bibles and pillows. I think it's going to be our new mission. Bibles, that'd be a good marketing line, wouldn't it? Bibles and pillows. So anyway, all that said, head on over to mypillow.com/Bards. Promo code Bards. Take advantage of the great savings. Support an incredible company that has weathered the most intense storm ever waged against a single entity. Seriously. Government and private entities have waged a singular war against MyPillow, and he's still standing. That is God right there. Powerful. And we have to look at these sorts of victories, because we lose sight of things and forget how many victories we've had. We are dealing with some very dark things right now. And part of the reason that the darkness is coming out is because the darkness that we are dealing with has been hidden and obscured from our sight. There's this, from the guy the other day that lit himself on fire in front of the Trump trial. And his position is not, it's contentious, but nonetheless, he didn't do it because he was pro-Trump. He did it because he was anti-Biden and Trump, anti-Trump. He was a guy that was making the statement that we're all being played, we're being set up, that Biden and Trump are part of the same NWO, and that neither one of them is good. And then somehow went crazy and lit himself on fire. There's a lot of sketchy stuff around this whole thing. And again, this is kind of like, it almost makes you wonder, like, what are we actually seeing here? Because there were some photos that came out, or some video footage came out of them picking him up. It's weird. The way they handle the body, they throw it onto the gurney like it's a dummy. And then the guy was texting apparently from the hospital while he was apparently burned. And then suddenly he dies. So I don't know what that's about. Strange all the way around. But like everything else, take everything with a grain of salt and understand that everything they're trying to do is to continue to foment this ideas of fear. This one's real. And I do want to pray on this as soon as we get through talking about this. This is heavy. A 6-year-old boy was shot in Kansas City, Missouri, while playing outside with his friends. He is a third child who has been shot in the past 8 days in Kansas City. Surveillance footage shows children playing outside before gunshots rang out, knocking the child off his bicycle. The reasoning for the shooting remains unknown. And as the Kansas City Police Department says, the investigation is ongoing. The 6-year-old child is reportedly in the hospital fighting for his life. The other two children have been shot, who were shot this month in Kansas City, sadly died. We're going to pray for him in just a moment. When I read this morning and I went into prayer about it, the first thing I heard in my prayer was, this is more sacrifice of children for the darkness of this world. The randomness of this event is not so random, and it's also an indication that things of their normal harvesting of kids is not going well. The energy of the death of a child is a traumatic event. There's a lot of words for that sort of energy that we put out. One is loosh. It's a spiritual energy that apparently evil demons feed on. I can't attest to that, but I can say that makes a certain amount of sense. And so that the more trauma that they can put in society, the lower that we are in the level of existence. We are literally raising up a global vibration frequency that makes that word, I know, trigger some people because they're like, oh, that sounds so new age. Prayer is frequency. And prayer creates a spiritual vibration. And we are, as we pray more, we are lifting that up into the heavenlies. And we are moving society. We are moving people. And this is where the remnant becomes so significant in its ways. Because we are able, as a remnant, to lift the frequency of love higher and higher and overcome the power of evil that's above us. So there's a need as well, and I just need to say this, that as we use terminologies that Pastor Greg Davis uses the word ascension, which sometimes gets people like, oh, what is he talking about? The man is talking about the same thing. He's talking about us living into the kingdom authorities and us praying and using the authorities of God within us and to literally lift people up into a greater existence in the love and power of Christ. And it is a remnant's job, and it's truly it. I really apologize for the interruptions like that just a second ago. As I clear my throat, I am still trying to figure out how to get a mute on this new system. So I'll figure it out by the end of the trip, and then you'll be like, oh, thank goodness. But anyway, the full power and the glory of what Christ is within us is tremendous. You know, there was a great quote. I had a talk with Pastor Travis Graham yesterday, which I haven't spoken to him. He's the man that got me really going into this ministry. And I spent 2 years with him in Thomaston. And it's just so amazing. As a Baptist pastor, you would not know that he was Baptist, just the way that he... And here's one of the distinctions. Travis hunts, he fishes, he raises animals, he farms. He's an old school pastor in that sense, and he's just salt of the earth as a result. And so we were talking about the power of prayer yesterday, and he made this comment, and one of the quotes that he quotes is, "The world has never seen the power of one person that has truly given their wholeness to God." And there's so much truth to that. In what we have as a people. By the way, he's coming on the show in the next couple of weeks. I talked to him about it. He's going to get on. He's a wonderful man. Great church, too. Small little farm country church down in Thomaston, Georgia. It's really good. Okay, so let's dig into a couple of things here. And this is, in so much of what we are seeking and trying to understand, truth continues to percolate out. But truth is one of the greatest weapons and one of the greatest fears that evil has. This is a TED Talk, and this is unbelievable what you're about ready to hear. This is NPR's CEO. This is NPR, National Public Radio, CEO Catherine Mayer on the truth. And this is just a quote that you'll hear within this. "Our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done." Take a listen. This is unbelievable.
The hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion. Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist, nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
Perception and truth are not equal. And what she's talking of is perception. This is a leftist perspective all the way through. Truth becomes pluralized. This goes down to the deconstruction work by the French philosopher Jacques Derrida, who began the world concept of deconstructing language in the 60s. It also roots to postmodernism and post-postmodernism, which were academic trends to literally deconstruct the idea of truth. That truth is plural, that the only truth that exists is within our own perspective, that there is no true truth of anything. This is their way of fighting back, because when we get to truths, like a pedophile, their truth is going to be, well, we have to look at this from a different perspective. Maybe he is just that way, so let us respect him for who he is because he likes children. Rather than, nope, the truth is he's a pedophile. The truth is that he is a scourge on society. The truth is he needs a millstone around his neck and needs to be cast into the lake and drowned. Honestly, this is where they are. They're pushing back so hard because the truths that are coming out are exposing them for the depravity of their soul. God speaks a truth. We know that truth. And when we seek into that truth, we find that way. Every faith in the world will talk about a way. And that is whether it's Buddhism, Taoism, whether it's Hinduism, even in Islam, there is a way. And that way is truth. But the left is anything but faithful in its beliefs. It is an ideology of corrupted minds and corrupted souls that seeks really the true cult of the Luciferian altar, which is do as thou will and be unaccountable to anybody but yourself. That is this challenge that we are now in, because as these layers are being pulled back and the truth is being exposed, you will hear more and more of this discussion about what is truth, because to convolute truth means that we don't have justice. We don't have a way through to have accountability. Accountability and justice are the two things, are one of two things, and two things in life that the left desperately fears, because when they're held accountable to what they say, there is a justice that comes from that that they know. And this is literally back to Romans 1:18-32, where they are literally left into the mind of the reprobate mind, the mind of those that have walked away from God to worship the creature rather than the creator. And that is a place that we are now. And it's a world that they are completely desperately trying to avoid. There is truth, though, and there's big questions about truth happening. Tucker Carlson at one time mocked the idea of anything in questioning 9/11, of the pulling of the buildings. Here's a discussion with Joe Rogan. It's very insightful to see how much it has moved as Tucker has stepped away from his world and stepped into a world of just starting to ask the hard questions and not getting the answers. To his credit, Tucker continues to ask the hard questions without drawing the conclusions, but in the asking of the questions, we arrive more appropriately in the direction of truth. Take a listen to this.
What's the justification for classifying any document around 9/11? There's no justification.
Well, the same justification in classifying the documents about the Kennedy assassination.
Well, exactly, 61 years later.
Yeah, or releasing the COVID vaccine data 75 years later.
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer, but there is one. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's not methods and sources. You think it's methods and sources? Trying to protect their Saudi sources? I don't think so.
You know, the wildest thing about Tower 7 is that if you just say it looks like a controlled demolition, people get mad at you.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
because I'm not saying that it is a controlled demolition. But I'm saying if you watch it, it looks like a controlled demolition.
But that happens all the time. Buildings catch fire and they just implode in on themselves. I think it happens every week, right? All these poultry plants and manufacturing plants that keep getting burned through fire. They all, like,
it's the way it went down.
Yeah. So I say, why do they respond that way? And of course I responded that way. So, and I think looking back, the reason that I did was because if you call that into question, you had to ask a lot of other really obvious questions that you didn't want to deal with. And you might arrive at the conclusion that a lot of your most basic assumptions are false and that you've been had. And it's just too destabilizing, maybe.
Right. Well, the real problem with Tower 7 is they go, well, okay, if it was a controlled demolition, how was that engineered? Did they just decide to do that before September 11th? And you know how long it would take to rig a building like that?
Right.
Or was it built into the building? And how would they know it would even work? And how would they do something like that? And how would there not be a record of it being built into the building? Like, for someone to engineer
and where's
the
sound signature
tower
on the tape? There would be a sound of the explosions going
on. Yeah, bang, 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 bang.
Which is a fair question.
Yeah, so a lot of fair questions. And has there ever been a building that experienced a tremendous amount of damage because two enormous skyscrapers fell right next to it, damaged it, and then massive fire started, and then there's diesel generators that are in the basement, so they have all this fuel, so they have this incredible inferno in the basement that weakens the structure. Mm-hmm. And is that why it collapsed? Maybe.
Totally possible.
Yeah.
A lot of building engineers disagree with that, as you know.
Yeah.
And they don't think that could have happened in the way you just described. I'm agnostic on it. What I know, because I don't know the answer, and I have no way of knowing. All I know is that there's no justification for keeping those documents secret that I can think of. And if there is, tell us what it is. No one has bothered because nobody presses. And it's, you know, I'll add that to the list of outrages.
Yeah.
And there it is. I mean, really, the center point of what is being hidden is in those classified documents because they don't want the public to know. And if they don't want you to know something, they're obscuring truth. It's an interesting piece with 9/11. From my understanding and from very good sources, this was an operation that used something called nanothermite. Very few people even know what nanothermite is or how it operates. And it was apparently painted on the beams and painted on the walls over a period of time. It wouldn't give you a normal... Nanothermite doesn't give you an explosion. It gives you a burn. And so a lot of these issues that they're dealing with also deal with a gap in understanding the technologies that are available and out there, because once again, we're dealing with technologies that are classified that people don't understand. And they're way ahead of us in that area. And so there's discussions that are happening based on a very limited framework of what is available, like explosions. Well, explosions, thermite is not an explosive based concept. It's a burn, and it high temperatures that melt steel, that's, and cut girders and that sort of thing. So anyway, those discussions remain open because we don't have the truth, but the documents to be able to get to them are classified. And this is part of the game of keeping us in this forever OODA loop of discussing things and theories and taking us off into rabbit holes when the truth is a very clear line when we understand it. My belief, based on a lot of evidence and a lot of research, is that this was an operation run by Mossad and the CIA in which they literally painted on nanothermite and they ignited those buildings and used the cover of detonations and the cover of planes apparently flying into the building. Even that's a question, because the planes flying into the building were, could be, have been remote, or they could have even been projected in on the video footage, because there is video footage that shows no planes. So again, there's a lot of questions out there, but we aren't going to get to there's the truth. And this is, again, the left's game. This is the control game of divide and conquer. Hold back key bits of information that would lead to the understanding of what really did happen. Seed in the many different perspectives of truth, validate each one of them, saying, well, this is a possibility and that is a possibility. Take it like a hypothesis in trying to develop a theory that will hold. This discussion goes on endlessly. We get to know truth and we're left with unresolved. When we don't have a resolution in truth, we can't come to accountability and justice. And this is how they hide their crimes. 750,000 plus children are trafficked every year. The media will tell you it's only 30,000. They'll tell you that most of those Amber Alerts are not actually of children getting kidnapped. There are apparent disputes, a lot of things like this. Yet we have over 400,000 children on the border that have disappeared. We have no tracking of where they are. What is it? And so it's, again, it's a pluralized discussion that gets us away from the hardened truth. That is, there is a global network of criminality that's going on that is trafficking, exploiting, ritually abusing, and sexually assaulting children. But the facts indicate that that's true, but we don't have the numbers. The facts are that the men in America consume more child pornography than any other place in the world, and any other body of people in the world. That's a broken society. But again, those are hard facts and truth. The left would argue that, no, this is a perspective. This is who they're drawn to. This is a sexual preference. This is how they get away with it. And they continue to layer over this, and over this until the truth becomes so pluralized and destroyed and butchered that we can't find our way to what is real. And that affects us when we start to get into running a society from a moral foundation. We have to be holding people to a higher standard and to accountability. And part of that is the brutality of truth sometimes is brutal. And it is just that. I'm going to play a piece here. I'm going to qualify this piece very clearly. This is Alex Jones. It's about a 2.5 minute piece, roughly. He gets into some really esoteric theories about the world and where how we're living. But there's some real nuggets in here I want you to listen to, which is kind of this concept that we exist. One of the things that's really interesting, we exist within God, and also the how these different levels of existence of how we are fighting back through a consciousness that's raising up, and ultimately I would overlay that and say through our prayers and healing. It's an interesting thing, and it's just kind of like one of these discussions I want to bring in here just to kind of expand the thinking of where this world is and how much influence we truly have within it.
A research worm, in a good way. The elite are all about transcendence and living forever and the secrets of the universe, and they want to know all this. Some are good, some are bad, some are a mix. But the good ones don't ever want to organize. The bad ones didn't want to organize because they lust after power. Powerful consciousnesses don't want to dominate other people. They want to empower them, so they don't tend to get together until things are really late in the game. Then they come together. Evil's always defeated because good is so much stronger. And we're on this planet, and Einstein's physics showed it, Max Planck's physics showed it, all there's at least 12 dimensions. And now that's why all the top scientists and billionaires are coming out saying it's a false hologram. It is artificial. The computers are scanning it and finding tension points where it's artificially projected and gravity's bleeding in to this universe. That's what they call dark matter. So we're like a thought or a dream that's a wisp in some computer program, some God's mind, whatever. They're proving it all. It's all coming out. Now, there's like this sub-transmission zone below the third dimension that's just turned over to the most horrible things is what it resonates to. And it's trying to get up into the third dimension that's just a basic level consciousness to launch into the next levels. And our species is already way up in the fifth, sixth dimension, consciously our best people. But there's this big war trying to like basically destroy humanity because humanity has free will and there's a decision to which level we want to go to. We have free will, so evil's allowed to come and contend, not just good. And the elites themselves believe they're racing using human technology to try to take our best minds and build some type of breakaway civilization where they're going to merge with machines, transcend, and break away from the failed species that is man, which is kind of like a false transmission because they're thinking what they are is ugly and bad, projecting it onto themselves instead of believing, no, it's a human test about building us up. And so Google was set up 18, 19 years ago, I knew about this before it was declassified, I'm just saying I have good sources, that they wanted to build a giant artificial system. And Google believes that the first artificial intelligence will be a supercomputer based on the neuron activities of the hive mind of humanity with billions of people wired into it with the Internet of Things. And so all of our thoughts go into it, and we're actually building a computer that has real neurons in real time that's also psychically connected to us that are organic creatures so that they will have current prediction powers, future prediction powers, a true crystal ball. But the big secret is, once you have a crystal ball and know the future, you can add stimuli beforehand and make decisions that control the future. And so then it's the end of consciousness and free will for individuals, as we know, and a true 2.0 in a very bad way, hive mind consciousness with an AI jacked into everyone, knowing our hopes and dreams, delivering it to us, not in some PKD wirehead system where we plug in and give up on consciousness because of unlimited pleasure, but because we were already wired in and absorbed before we knew it by giving over our consciousness to this system by our daily decisions that it was able to manipulate and control into a larger system. There's now a human counterstrike taking place to shut this off before it gets fully into place and to block these systems and to try to have an actual debate about where humanity goes and cut off the pedophiles and psychic vampires that are in control of this AI system before humanity's destroyed.
I love that term, psychic vampires. It is so on point with what people do when they are literally being traumatized. A pedophile knows that what their effect is they're grooming. We use the term grooming, but really what you're dealing with is a psychic vampire. They're taking away the free will of an individual. They're taking away the will of an individual through rape and through abuse and through the degenerative methods that make them not see themselves as the beauty of God, but yet an ugly being, which is like them. There's a lot of nuggets in that piece by Alex Jones that are really powerful. And it's truly the understanding that we have the power in all of this to overcome this. And one of the things to do that, and we talk about this in different terminologies, but they're the same. It's the breakaway society, the breakaway economies. The breakaway is centered on faith. And as we place our energy, our focus, our prayers within the realm of prayer and healing and faith and love, we're separating from this control matrix that they're literally trying to build. There's no question of what he's talking about, the technology issues. Study this way too long. This is literally their goal, is to create this sort of psychic network, which people have become so tied into. They already can predict a year in advance. If you're a credit card user of MasterCard in 2012, I've mentioned this before, in 2012, MasterCard developed the algorithms capable of predicting exactly what you would buy on what day and even time a year in advance. How is that possible? It's possible because in your using the card, they can track your purchases. They're developing a very complex profile. And then, as Alex Jones stated, they can inject the stimuli into the key areas to direct your buying patterns so that you become a puppet of their machine. You become a consumer. The consumer concept of consumption by their will is what we're dealing with here. And so this model has been in place for a long time. Advertising is at the core of it. Advertising is PSYOP in illegal terms. We can't use, well, we can in this country now, but they were not supposed to use psychological warfare methods on the American public. The sidestep has always been advertising agencies and PR agencies. They can always use those methods against the public. So the shaping of the mind is the key of this, and this gets into Ephesians 6:10 to 18. Truly that we are fighting principalities beyond our reach. And this is not a fight of flesh and blood, but this is a fight of the spiritual, always has been. The spiritual is understanding how we gird up and how we gird ourselves from this. And that's the armor, from the helmet of salvation to the breastplate to the belt, to the belt of truth. All of these things we have to be putting on each day to be able to fight this enemy and wage a war against it so that we can hold our line and rise above it. But it's trying very hard to keep us down. And this frequency thing comes in very importantly, because a society that lacks prayer, a society that lacks supplication to God, a society that does not worship our Creator, but begins itself each day with the me, is subject to these lower levels of vibration and influence and corruption. And as corruption rises up, imagine it just being like you're walking along and corruption is ripping out of the ground. You can't see it because it's at a spiritual level, but it's grabbing on. And where is it grabbing on? Everywhere that there is no armor. It's reaching in and trying to tag you, grab you, pull you. And this around you is this swirling vortex of these temptations that totally pull at your heart if you're not armored up. And when we're armored up, we walk through it like it's nothing. We look at it and it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, you know, just walking along and you've got a little gnat on you and you brush it off. It's like, leave me. But if you don't have it on, it sticks to you, pulls you, it guides you. And this is when you start to look at the world from this sort of optic, you start to understand or be able to appreciate how we're seeing such explosions of things like the explosion of LGBTQ or the explosion of government corruption, even at most local levels, people that you know that are turning against the will of the people. Why? because right now we're in this massive eruptive state where the society as a whole, the nation has not repented. The nation is not walking with God. The nation is not working with God as a whole. It isn't to say individually or even collectively as a group like Bard's Nation, but we're talking as a nation as a whole. So where does the remnant come in? It's a profound moment of the remnant. The remnant comes in because the remnant becomes the Gideon's army. It becomes the voice, the trumpets of the time that speak and into the world, that blow the trumpets, that break the pots of light, that scatter this demonic force. It breaks it. It shatters it. It releases it. And in so doing, we're able to speak into people's hearts. And as we speak into people's hearts, they literally open their eyes. And then the pivot is that they begin to armor up. And as they take in the word in their life and they send to strengthen themselves, and the word of Christ flows within them, the connection, the ability for this darkness to hang on to them starts to dissipate and break and fragment and fall away. We are living, I would argue that those that are walking truly deep within the body of Christ right now are living outside of this world. It's outside of this dimension of this world. We're in this third, the third dimension is literally the primitive dimension of existence. We're working in a higher plane of existence. We're working towards those kingdoms, kingdom space. And we're bringing that power into this world by bringing people through it. These are broad spectrum interpretations of biblical fundamentals, but we are working as a collective whole here in the remnant and in this body to raise people up, and we are doing it through the power of prayer and healing. It's intense and it's beautiful, and it's the most amazing time to be alive. Someone says here, be very careful when delving into New Age. Lucifer comes as an angel of light. There is no New Age here, and if somebody's taking that, don't take it this way. Okay, the problem we have is there's a fear. And I've said this many times before. When we are dealing with things, if you are anchored in your principles of faith and you're walking within Jesus, if you're still walking in fear as if Lucifer has power over you, then you are not walking in faith and you're not walking without fear. Jesus had no fear when he was with Lucifer. And so I will always rebuke those concepts of when we have discussions, because what ends up happening within Christian faith is our dialogue has been squeezed and become so narrow. We can't use words outside of that, and people freak out. And because they freak out, we cease to have the ability to communicate in the ways that we need to overcome evil, because we're not understanding the true sense of who we are. So the issue here is, do you have fear? And if you have fear, you will always be subject to the enemy. You could be the strongest person. Elijah had a moment of fear after Jezebel came after him. He cowered back and he said, oh my goodness, they're coming after me. That's a human nature. But if you're walking without fear and you're walking into the face of evil, there is nothing that evil can do to you. So there is an ability to understand this is so important, that fearlessness is the heart of victory. And there is a reason that God tells us this 365 times, fear not. If you fear, and if you're fearful of like, be careful when you tread here, I will walk boldly into any place with Christ in my heart. I can speak a language with anybody, even their own language, and turn it towards their eyes to Christ, because sometimes that's the only way to communicate. When you're sitting with somebody who is wrapped around another way of thinking, and you want to bring them to Christ, you're going to have to speak a language that they can understand, and you're going to have to build the bridge from where they are to where you want them to be. The problem we have in our faith is it's been black and white. Door knock, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. When in fact, what they need to hear is, here's where you are, here's what you're seeing, let me show you the way through him. And we can do that with the confidence and knowing of where we walk within the body of Christ. Because there's many different things going on out here, and there are people at different perspectives or spectrums on the walk in Christ. But the role of the remnant is to be courageous, to be fearless, to be the Gideons to blow the horn, and to be thankful, truly thankful for where we are in this world. I want to play this perspective piece. It's really good as we start to wrap things up today.
Used to how great your life is. No one had a hot shower until 50 years ago. So I try and do this thing when you stand in a hot shower. George Mack, my friend, pointed this out to me. Went, well, look, when you stand in a hot shower, just for a moment, just go, well, no one that you admire from 100 years ago had this simple pleasure in life. And when you look at the world that we live in, we're like, you're doing, there's been 100 billion people ever, right? We are in the top percentile in terms of the luck that we have had, but the lives, like the calorific intake that we just take for granted, the fact that our children don't die, in the first year, the modern medicine and our lives and the entertainment that we get. We're living like kings. And yet, life has never been objectively better and subjectively worse, because the nature of humanity is our desires are mimetic. So we've got this thing where we sort of, how happy are you?
That's good. How happy are you? And how secure are you in your faith? And how fearless are you in life? I can have a discussion with just about anybody, and I will, and the certain things that will come up will reflect fear within their hearts. We have to walk fearlessly in knowing where we are. And this is something that's so critical, because fear is such a rotting and despicable type sin to me. And it is that way because it is one that truly, it not just separates us from God, it corrodes His word. You can have profound words being spoken, but if fear is there, fear will take over the word of God and it will distort it. And in distorting it, it will now deliver something that is not of Him. And that is, as we know, when you speak words of God and you're allowing that to happen, you're held to a higher standard anyway. But that is also the whole part of our walk, because then we begin to step away from the greatness. God is not about hobbling up and hiding. He's about getting further within the body. So in a time like this, when so much is happening and we're encountering more and more things and we're seeing with our eyes, with as the veils are being pulled away and the veneers of lies have been torn down, we're looking into where things have been all along. We're seeing clearly the derailments of places where people have walked in faith, or people have been following, to use what was said earlier, the New Age concepts. How else are you going to reach them? And if you're going to go in and speak to somebody who's a New Age person and speak of one thing like Christ, this is what you'll probably end up with, which is Christ consciousness, which is not of God. It may be a byproduct of being within Christ, but it's not the principal issue. And so you have to be able to walk within that confidence where Christ walks and flows within us in a profound way, to be able to speak a language across ways. Otherwise, we don't listen. One of the biggest problems that we have is the inability for us to hear one another. And we do so because we develop such rigid lines. I just want to present this to you as we close today. And we're going to go into prayer here very quickly. God created all things in this world. Yes, Lucifer mocks, but God, these are God's children. And so God loves all people. And if God loves us, and God will also love that person who is walking in that New Age world. How does God want us to bring them home? Is God so rigid in the way of communicating that says you must speak only these words to them, and if they don't follow, if they don't abide by what those words say, you will fall off? Or do we have a discussion that leads them into that richness of what the Bible says, and they then take those words within themselves and allow that collage of God to grow within them in the right way? We are bridge builders. And in that sense, when we're dealing with people, we have to have that in our heart. And this is complicated, because we get into places and you say, well, where's the line of truth? Right where we started. The line of truth rests within the word. But we have to bring people to the word. And if they're outside that word, then we are in a place where truly we want them to hear it. And we have to hear them first. And that's the key. And to hear somebody, I will tell you this, I speak truly from years of experience of doing this in the worst places in the world. When we want to hear somebody, you have to listen with an open heart. And it's a very dangerous and vulnerable place if you are not solid within who you are and you have to be walking fearlessly. You have to be, because you have to hear their heart. Just some thoughts for today, because this is powerful times. And in the end of the day, it's all God. That's where we walk. And yes, so someone said they heard the puppies. Yes, they're having a barking fit at probably a cat that tried to steal their food again. And the poor kitty is not going to stick around long. Okay, Patriots, let's begin with a prayer for that six-year-old boy in Kansas City. Father God, we're going to come to you today and this morning. We present our hearts to you before the throne. And we just, we're praying for this child in Kansas City. These are prayers that will be, that we just are asking that you hear. We don't know this child, but we feel this child. We feel the pain of this family. We feel the suffering that has happened because of somebody who's trying to take his life for whatever reason, whatever motive. Father, we want to just rebuke any sort of negative and binding evil that's around him. We're going to bind it and we're going to wrap a hedge of protection around him. We're just wrapping him in the linens of Jesus right now. And Father, is praying into his heart restoration and recovery. And just praying the love of Christ over him. And Father, we're just asking right now, as this child is struggling for his life, Father, we just ask for the blessings to pull him back, to bring him back from that edge. Do we pray into his life and we restore his life in the fullness of what Christ has asked us to do. And so, Father, in the power of Jesus, we declare healing over this child from head to toe to head. And we flow Holy Spirit from head to toe to head. And we cleanse out any of the evil, any of the darkness that has settled in, any of the wounds were now healed. And we restore his body functions to the perfection. This child is to be a miracle of the living God. And let it speak boldly in this world. And let this child literally be one that is now awakens in his age as he grows to know that the healing it received was the healing of Holy Spirit. And that the connection this child will have now with you is greater than ever. So Jesus, we just ask that you'll join us in this prayer. And just ask that you'll lay your hands upon this child. And as the blood touches him, we truly, Jesus, we just declare healing over this child. And may this child stun those doctors around him to recover in ways they never thought possible, to be restored in ways that's seemingly impossible, because it's not the physicians of the flesh. We're speaking now, Father, to you, the great physician of the world. So, Father, we declare healing over him, and we plead healing over this child. In a time when we need healing as a nation, and let this child be yet another reminder of the power of the living God. When a group comes together where two or three are gathered, where prayers are poured upon him and where declarations are made in healing, we see this child heal, and we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Father God, I just want to thank you today for this assembly and just praying for the heart of the not just a cheerful giver, but a willing listener, Father, of one that we can sit and listen. As Jesus sat with prostitutes and tax collectors, he listened. And through the listening, he was able to administer and minister. So, Father, he's praying for the heart of a cheerful listener, to listen to what people are really saying, to see past the words and see into the heart. And so we're asking for that blessing to settle upon everyone. Not just words of evangelism, but to hear words, that to hear what they are speaking about, the wounds that they carry, the doubts that are within their heart, the fears that surround them. And to be able to minister to these people with words that are like, that work like a salve to heal and to release and to bind. And Father, we just pray that as we have these moments in time, and whoever we encounter, to literally have the empathy for where they are and to raise them up. And at the same time, to be able to see evil for evil, that discernment and wisdom that you can give. But Father, as we pray this now today, we're just praying for that heart of a cheerful and willing listener to hear where people are and to be given the eyes and wisdom to see where they are in their heart, and then to be able to speak the words, your words, however form they take, that will open those hearts, plant a seed, light a spark, ignite a small fire of righteousness within them, to question, to turn, to find, to seek. And may we continue that wave and that continue planting of seeds in such a way that we continue to wake people up in the, around the world to turn their eyes to you, not away. Bless us, Father, in this time. And we pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This is a really important perspective. And I really try not to come out and say, I know what I'm doing here. I will just say it this way. God has given me experiences in my life of dealing with some really bad people People that typically hate you, want to kill you, would like to behead you, that sort of stuff. And to be able to sit before them in a foreigner in their land and to be able to have conversations, that much of the conversation has always been centered around listening to what they are upset about, what their case is, and giving some credit to where they are. And once we get to that understanding that they can be acknowledged and appreciated, doors fly open. And when we're centered on God, and remember, when I was in Afghanistan, I was not in a relationship with God like I am today, but he was with me. He never forsook me. And so as we're sitting here and we're listening to one another, simple acknowledgments of where somebody is often open doors widely. But we have to respect the fact that there is so much doubt right now. There is so much fear right now, and there is so much shame of the things that we carry in our life. Those three principles are everywhere. And if we can get to those pieces and start to release the chains that are binding them to them, we are releasing the spiritual chains. We're setting people free into a world to start being able to see more clearly, to see more clearly with the eyes of God, and in so doing, to seek him. It's not a one and done. It's a beginning, a seeding, and there's so many out here that are in need. That young girl that was at Love's yesterday, there wasn't much I could do at a counter, but I wasn't going to admonish her for wearing a mask. All I could do was bless her and thank her. She was afraid. You could see it in her heart. She was fearful in this world. And that is something that takes time to heal. I don't know her background. Maybe she had a broken family. Maybe she was dealing with bills and having to have a child that she's taking care of. I don't know her story, but her story is at the key of her fear. And if I can just bless her, and then maybe someone else will bless her, and maybe somewhere along the way something will happen, I'll just pray for her and say, God, just please show her, give her some hope, give her some fear, open the door to something else can happen. But each seed we place. And it's interesting because as I stood there and looked at this young girl, I did see she was, one, she was fearful of the world, and yet by just talking to her, you could see the change happen, that someone recognized her, not saying, you're wearing a mask, what type of foolishness is this? Just talk to her like a human being. It's a powerful place. It's not an easy walk, but it's part of what I believe truly God calls us to do, because it's part of ministering to his children, ministering to the body of Christ. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you this evening for Bards FM. I'm on my way to Ogden, Utah today. We'll see what goes on. It's going to be an interesting trip. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.